Well, we're driven to get class moving early today because there's food downstairs. And the most dangerous thing you can possibly do is get between a Schaefer and a meal. It's kind of like a lioness in her cubs, you know. You just don't want to do that. Actually, it's more out of consideration for the other folks that are down there because the other classes let out earlier than ours. Then everybody's sitting down there waiting for the meal to start, and we're still up here gabbing. So, okay, last week we learned that we're not to have anything to do with sinners. No? There you go, okay. What did we learn last week? Okay. When it's talking about, in 1 Corinthians 5, it's talking about not associating with, and lists all these horrible things. It's talking about believers. Or at least people who profess to be believers. But it's talking about people inside the church, not people outside the church. Now, Proverbs 1. And Proverbs is a great place to learn about how to interact with people and how to deal with people and how to respond to people. Proverbs 1, 10 through 19. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. So what does this tell us about relationships with unbelievers? Yes. Okay, we're to be set apart from the unbeliever. What do you mean by that? Okay. We should not have the same goals and ambitions as unbelievers. What's the relationship that's being described here between the unbeliever and the believer, or the unbeliever and the son in this case? What's the relationship that's being described here? Tell me what the nature of the relationship is. This is important. Between the unbeliever, or the sinful, willful, evil person, and the son, who is being encouraged by his father to be wise. Whose path is being followed? It's the unbeliever's path. The unbeliever is leading in this relationship, not following. So the key here is, when it's talking about having a relationship with an unbeliever, being involved in with the unbeliever, don't let them lead you. Don't follow the path of the unbeliever. Don't let them entice you to sin, because that has all sorts of horrible consequences. It's not the same thing as saying don't have anything to do with an unbeliever. Don't follow them. If you're in a relationship with an unbeliever, it is your responsibility to be leading. Because if you're not leading, and they are, they're not leading you in the right direction. One more. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What does this tell us about our relationship with unbelievers? It's secondary. Explain.
You have a relationship with the Lord, and that defines everything that you say and do. And when you do these things, you radiate His glory.
Okay.
So the relationship that you have with people around you is secondary in terms of function and impact.
Okay. Your relationships with everybody should be colored, impacted, illuminated by your relationship with God. Absolutely. Right? If your relationship with God is good, your relationships with other people will be founded in that relationship. We talked about this very early on, that you can't have a godly relationship or a God-honoring relationship with anyone if you leave God out of it. For a Christian, it's even more central than that. Your first relationship is your relationship with God. Your primary, priority relationship is your relationship with God. And your relations with other people will be, of course, influenced by that and will come out of that. And if they don't, then there's something wrong with your primary relationship. What else? What's it talking about, salt losing its saltiness? Salt should have flavor. Salt should add savor. The things that we do should show God to people. Yes?
I was going to say that the salt they used in those days was no doubt mixed with other impurities. And when the salt was mixed out, it was still stuck there. But it was lost the salt.
If the salt was out of table salt today, there wouldn't really be anything in the... Actually, there'd be sugar, because they add sugar to everything, including salt, believe it or not. Yes? Okay. It's hard for us to conceive of salt losing its saltiness, right? Because salt is salt. So it would have been a much more relevant term to them today. But the concept behind it is very clear. Salt has value and serves a purpose because of what it is, because it's salt. If it doesn't do the things that it's supposed to do, it doesn't add flavor. if it doesn't preserve, it's useless. Right? It's like, you know, comedians laugh a lot about the ground pepper shaker. You know, they come to your table at an Italian restaurant and I'm going to grind some fresh pepper on your salad. And they say, well, you know, it's really just a magic stick, right? I'm going to wave a magic stick over your salad and that'll make it taste better. Because they don't, doesn't really do that. It's that same kind of concept that I profess to be a Christian. I'm standing up in front of the world as an ambassador of Christ. If I'm no different, if my presence and my actions are indistinguishable from everybody else around me who doesn't profess Christ, I'm worse than useless. Right? Because I'm actually detracting from Christ. If I'm no different, if I'm not distinguishable from the rest of the world, then I'm making a worse impression of Christ because I'm claiming to be different. Right? The emperor's new clothes. Don't I have the most beautiful clothes? No, you don't. You don't have any clothes. You're an embarrassment. If we as Christians are in relationships with believers or unbelievers, we must remember that we are ambassadors for Christ in everything that we do. We must be visible as Christians. If you're in a relationship with an unbeliever and they can't tell that there's anything different about you, there is something really wrong. Really wrong. And it's amazing because there's a lot of pressure to do just that. Right? You're dealing in the modern world. If you were to say, for example, it would be wrong of you to get drunk, well, you're intolerant. How dare you judge me? That may be okay for you, but not for me. That's not the way. The world is now pushing very hard to say, postmodern, everything is okay for you. Everybody's allowed to have their own perspective. Everybody's allowed to have their own rules. Where have we heard that before? Right? Look in the Bible. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. Postmodernism is not new. Calling it postmodernism is new. But the philosophy that whatever's okay for me works is as old as the Israelites in the Bible. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And for you as a believer to stand up and say that's wrong in modern society is intolerant. And intolerance is the worst possible crime that you can commit. How dare you tell me that I'm wrong? It's absolutely all right to be intolerant toward someone who actually has an opinion or actually takes a stance. It's a fascinating double standard, and you find it everywhere today. As a believer, you need to stand out. You need to be a light. You need to shine. And one of the keys about light is it reveals darkness and it reveals flaws. You need to stand out and say, I'm different. And you need to be different so that when you say I'm different, you're not detracting from the glory of God, but instead showing the glory of God. So in summary, what should believers' relationships be with unbelievers? some principles. Love your neighbor. We'll talk about the example of Good Samaritan, who is my neighbor. Love your enemy. We go even further beyond just casual neighbor, but actually enemy. These are commands. Do not be unequally yoked. And again, this is not just talking about marriage. This is talking about commitment. This is talking about bondage of some form with an unbeliever. No laughing. Yet we're commanded to go into all the world, not to be separate from the world, but to be distinct from the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are not permitted or commanded to be monastic or separatist. We are commanded to be in the world, but we are commanded to maintain our identity. Avoid the appearance of evil. Don't just go along. Don't just follow along. Don't just be one of the crowd. If you are associating with an unbeliever, you need to be distinct and you need to be salt and light. Questions? Yes. How do you do that? It must follow as the night today. Actually, quite seriously, as a believer, that shouldn't be difficult. What do I mean by that? All you have to do is obey God and follow His word and obey His commandments and do what you're told to do in Scripture. Follow Christ's teaching. Piece of cake, right? I don't have to tell you how to do it. It doesn't necessarily make it any easier. And on a case-by-case basis, it can be very, very difficult to do. But the Holy Spirit is pretty good at pointing out where you stop short. Yes?
I'd say that we're not seeking to be different just to be different. We're seeking to be what we should be, and that makes us different.
We're not Amish. And we talked about that fairly extensively last week. Right? Our goal is not to stand out in order to prove our difference. Our goal is to be ourselves, and by nature, as believers, being ourselves will be different from unbelievers. To be indistinguishable from an unbeliever is to be an unbeliever. If there is no distinction between you, then you're not illuminated by Christ. It's a pretty harsh statement, but it is what Scripture teaches. What didn't I talk about at all in here? What do we always talk about when we talk about relationships with unbelievers? And very good comment that on one hand, the Christian has a responsibility to avoid the appearance of evil. On the other hand, the believer has a responsibility to be charitable with their fellow believer. So if you see a believer in a relationship with an unbeliever, you don't go and immediately judge the believer and say, well, you're a sinner because you're spending time with that person. Which is what the Pharisees were doing with Christ. Right? The Pharisees said, how can you hang out with prostitutes, tax collectors, the worst of the worst? How can you do that? And Christ chastised them for that. The same thing is true of us. Although it's a believer's responsibility to avoid the appearance of evil, that doesn't mean that you completely separate yourself from any chance of that. And that doesn't mean, as a believer who sees someone doing something about which you have questions, walking arm in arm into a bar with somebody, right? What's your responsibility at that point?
Pray for them.
I was waiting for somebody to say that. finish up with that thought. Pray for them. Actually, your responsibility is to talk to them. Your responsibility is to go to them. If your brother does something that you have a problem with, you are responsible to go to them. And we'll get to that when we talk about brother-brother relationships. Evangelism. What about evangelism? Is evangelism on this list? And why or why not? I would hope so. I would hope so. I am honestly not a proponent of, pardon the expression, Bible thumping. I'm not a proponent of Bible thumping. I am much more a proponent of relational evangelism. That is, if you are a believer, and if you live as a believer, and you have relationships with unbelievers, you will be evangelizing. Because, first of all, the gospel is an offense, and if you are living it truly, it will be an offense. Second of all, they will know that we are Christians by our love. The way that you live as salt and light among unbelievers should stand out, and they should want to know, why are you different? It should be obvious. The way that you become salt and light, the way that you have an influence on the world around you, and I believe one of the best ways that you can evangelize, is to build relationships with people who are unbelievers with the clear understanding that you are a believer, and then truly live as a believer in their presence. And they should see something that they desire. Has an unbelieving friend ever asked you, how can you be so happy all the time? How can you let him do that to you and not blow up, not get back at him, not seek revenge, not... Has that ever happened to you? Explaining what Christ means to you and what his forgiveness means to you and why you can forgive somebody very easily is evangelism. If you truly live the Christian life around unbelievers, the opportunities for evangelism are multitudinous. And that's without ringing on strangers' doorbells. There is a place for that. Don't get me wrong. There is a place for that. But you have much more influence as a believer with the people that you know, the people that you take the time to develop relationships with. You have much more influence than with somebody off the street. Now, I have friends who are who object to the use of business techniques in spiritual matters. So please take any business techniques that I imply might work with a grain of salt. But when you work on sales and you work on being an effective salesperson, the number one thing that you work on is not explaining the product really, really well. The number one thing that you work on is your relationship with the customer. That's what you do. If you build a relationship with a customer, you could, as they say, be selling central air to an Eskimo. And if you really build a good relationship, they'll buy it. Now, I'm not advocating just on sales by any means. But the concept of building up that relationship, getting close to people, in order to have that level of influence, is really what I am advocating. It's important to know the people to whom you are trying to witness. It's important to be more than a casual contact. It's important to really work on relationships. So what's the problem with that in our society? None of us know any unbelievers, right? We all live in a bubble. We have no associations with anyone who's an unbeliever, so therefore, I can't evangelize that way. Is that true? That's something that you can work on. If you really feel that way, if you really feel that my world has become so church-centric that I have no interaction with unbelievers whatsoever, then maybe you need to work on addressing that. But even the most isolated of us go shopping from time to time or go out and grab something to eat where you will have encounters and an opportunity, even as we talked about, even having somebody come and wait on your table is an opportunity to build a relationship. Even being cheerful with the person who's checking out your groceries is an opportunity to start and build a relationship. And seek to build a relationship and let Christ in you shine forward as an opportunity to witness. That's my recommendation. This week was definitely a short week. And I'm being deliberately short because I've been told that people don't like waiting downstairs for our class to finish so that they can have their lunch. So I'm going to bring this to a close. Next week, we're going to start moving into the subject of brother to brother. And by that, I mean brethren, Christian relationships and the nature of Christian relationships, how they differ from relationships between a believer and unbeliever and what we should be doing in those relationships. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, pray that we would go forth from this place and truly be salt and light to the world. Pray, Lord, that in the casual and the deliberate relationships that we have with unbelievers, that they would see in the lives of every person in this room a distinction, a difference, and Lord, that that would be something that they would desire. Give us each this week at least one opportunity to explain to someone the reason for the hope that lies within us. And Lord, pray that you would help us to be faithful so that through our actions we are not a detriment to your glory, but that through our actions, your glory would shine forth to the world around us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.